Everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. We have a full show today talking about the judging approval process on both sides of the border, CUs, spreadsheets, apprenticing, oh my, and some big upcoming shows all the way from Crufts to Kentucky. All that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive. Young William, and a fine day it is. It's almost St. Patrick's Day.
It is almost St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day, Wayne. The best day of the year.
It's a beautiful thing. I've got my Irish Wolfhound vest, and I've got all my regalia, my newsboy cap. Actually, a farmer's cap, right? I've got
it's
all
a paddy cap. It's a paddy cap, Wayne.
Paddy cap. We got all of it. We got all of it, Will.
Yeah. I have my Toronto St. Pat's hockey jersey.
There you go.
Because that was the original name of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I do know that. And speaking of hockey.
Oh, yeah. We've reached out. We have touched our audience, Wayne. I knew we did. I knew besides my mom and a few other people, I knew we would reach out. And her name is Brenda Young. And I'm going to tell you what she wrote. Brenda Young. Hello, Wayne and Will. You have gotten me into hockey after listening to your podcast. I had never, ever watched a game, even though my husband loves the Red Wings and Flyers. You mentioned a team called the Kraken. I love all things cryptid and horror or sea monsters. As soon as I heard about the Seattle Kraken, I was smitten. I'm working on learning the game and listening to all the podcasts about the team. Thought you'd like to know that you created a hockey fan from your Dog Show Drive podcast.
It's as good as it gets.
Hey, we can quit now.
We can quit. Well, thank you, Brenda. And for those of you, and I also get a couple that say, we love your show, except the hockey.
I get that too.
You promised not to talk about hockey today. Well, we don't promise.
No, bro. I already talked about St. Pat's. It's done.
True. Anyway, what have you been up to, young William?
Not a lot, reason. It's relaxing. I have a show this weekend. I did write my, I got my approval for the sporting group. So I'm now an approved sporting dog judge up here in Canada, but I also wrote my first half of the hound group. So, I passed that. So now I can take permit assignments for the first half of hounds. Wow. And what have you been up to, young Wayne? See, they can't see that you're sitting in your office and papers all around. I know what you've been up to.
I have been up to making spreadsheets, William. Spreadsheets, I say. Many of them. They're taped all over the place.
It's like you're on a job like the CIA. You've got these things all over your walls.
It looks
one circling of those, back to a triangular.
Those crime scene things where you connect all the dots with the strings. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get a couple of points for a couple of sporting briefs. When you think about the irony that you can get a group and a half, and well deserved, by the way, more than well deserved. And here we are sitting here. I spent at least 6 hours with the Louisville judging program. Now, I know that sounds silly to those who don't understand the process, but here's what you got to do. You have to get the judging program. You have to wait for the judging program. And you then go through the, and by the way, the Louisville judging program is, I think, 5,927.
It's like pages. A phone book.
It's like a phone book.
Do they still have phone books? I don't know.
They probably do. I don't know. So you go through the entire judging program. to find, you have your list sitting there next to you of breeds in which you'd like to observe, or apprentice. And then you tick off those breeds. You then go through the judging program to see if there's an, oh, by the way, you need a point schedule next to you, because you have to find out which breeds have majors. Because if it's not a major, it doesn't count. So you've got your point schedule for the region, you've got your judging program, and then you go through and you say, okay, Boykins, I need four of those to make a major. Oh, look, it's 3-2-1. Out. I can't use that one, right? All right, next breed. Oh, look, American Water Spaniels. There's five entered, 5-4-2-1 or whatever it is. That's a major. This is great. Let's see who's judging. Oh, it's, you know, Joe Blow. Then you've got to go to the AKC website and go on the searchable directory and find the judge's name.
When you see if Joe Blow has been around long enough.
They list every single breed. You have to, there's a two-click system to get to that part. It's not just on the page. So you go to their group and breed data and find out if they've been judging that breed for 12 years. 12, I say, William, not 10, 12. Now, Brian Martin's not been judging Bassetts for 12 years. I think I could learn a couple things from him.
Exactly. Really?
Got to be 12.
I sat at ringside in Portland with Brian Martin, and I learned more about Bassetts in the 2 minutes I sat beside Brian.
Of course. But he doesn't qualify for the 12-year thing. I might be able to say he's, I don't know if he's been a breeder for 12 years. Probably not. But this is this kind of, anyway. So if he doesn't have the 12 years, I'm out, even though, so I've got date open, breed open, major open, and then not 12 years. You do that for every single breed. So then you get all the breeds that you have, a judge that you respect. Oh, by the way, good luck with that one. Doing a major. And then you make a spreadsheet because I'm going for 3 days down there. And you can only use one judge for one day of a, you can't use Mrs. Clark on Thursday and Saturday, only one day. You can use her for the cluster. I have no idea what that's about.
That's ridiculous. My God, could you imagine if there was someone of that ilk on a panel? You can only use them for one breed or one day?
Yes. Imagine she's doing English Cockers one day, Poodles the next day, and you can't.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you have the conflicts. So you come up and you say, oh, look, I can do these two breeds under these two great judges. Oh, they're on at the same time. Can't do that. So you got to cross that breed off. And you start with 16 breeds and end up with 3. And you drive 5 hours to Louisville and back, $800 for hotel rooms for the weekend.
If you're lucky, $800.
Yeah. and not to mention, food, meals, gas, and all that. So what we're in for $3,000. And I'll come back with 6 points if I'm lucky. And I need 10 for each breed, except 5 for the low entry breeds. Welcome to the world of judging, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Yet Will can do what you need to do. Take a damn test. Show them that you know what you're doing and get approved. The problem is we're not all equal. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Yeah, well, we all have our own strengths. And some of us are strong in dogs and some of us are strong in mechanical work, which I'm not.
I'm not a very good ballerina. I can try. I can tell.
Well, I'm pretty good.
Well, you are, yeah. But and I'm not a very good bowler, and I've never played polo. Well, I have sat on a static horse and tried to whack a ball with a mallet. That's embarrassing. It's not easy. I can't imagine doing it at speed. But these are things that. We try to make systems that are fair for everyone, which makes them fair for no one. No one.
It's, you look back in the past, you think, if this was happening back in Dr. Alva's day, would he have gone on and judged?
He would have laughed at him.
Right. And then we would have lost Alva Rosenberg.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Maybe Mrs. Clark. And with 10 billion dog shows, the majors aren't, they're spread pretty thin. So now we're down to only four. Oh, say this happens. Say I do go to Louisville. I am going to Louisville. And the breeds that I'm interested in, I've got the major. I've got the judging schedule works for the time. The judge has 12 years. I get there. One of them doesn't show up. Guess what? Doesn't count. If I need five and six are entered and two don't show up, it doesn't count. And I've done that. I just went through that in Maryland. I went all the way down there and observed under a very good judge and a breed that I love. And one was absent, one short of the major, didn't count. I don't know. And then you see people who run around with the ringside observation forms, just having people to sign them. And some judges are just, get out of my way, I'll sign it. And they haven't talked to them for 2 seconds. There's got to be a better way. I'm all about the, I've discussed this before, these regional councils. You divide the country into as many regions as you need, and you have a group of people that everybody respects. People, and we all know who they are, Will, and the NKC knows who they are. And you put those people in a group, 4 or 5, whatever, should be an odd number, I guess, 3, 5, whatever. And if someone's coming up and you go through the process and it's not working out and you're left with 3 breeds that you just can't get points on because they don't exist at dog shows. And the only breeder lives 3 million miles away in some of these rare breeds. You still need the 5 points. How about that group gets together and says, you know what? Will pretty much knows about spaniels. He can have those. Yes, you got to take a breed test. Yes, you got to take a standard test. I'm all in for all of that. I don't want just somebody to be blessed. But
isn't that basically what Len Brumby did?
Yes, it's what Len Brumby did. He didn't even go through the process. He would just call you and say, you know what? You're ready for the sporting group. And you better learn the stuff you don't know. Go ask people.
And look who evolved from that.
Yeah. I mean, think of all the great judges involved. And the cream will rise to the top. If you're good, you'll get hired.
Yeah.
And you'll draw entries. I don't know. It's frustrating as hell. I'm fine going through it because I don't want to be an exception at all. I don't think anybody should be an exception. But boy, there's got to be some latitude, some common sense. I'm not saying.
What about the person that's been in dogs for 50 years and they don't have the wherewithal to do this?
Yeah.
We've lost them. They've given 50 years of their life and we've lost them because they can't afford to go to Louisville for $3,000 to get 6 points.
Well, there's 2 parts to that, right? They can't afford to go get the points. Or they don't know how to. I mean, I'm using Excel because I've used it all my life and I can do magical things. I hadn't used the internet. I knew how to do all that stuff. Why would you expect someone who's been in dogs their life to have those skills too?
Right.
And without them, you're not doing it. And by the way, you're making your own flight plans or hotel reservations and all that crap too. And that's not easy for some people. I've got some very bright, you and I both have some very bright friends who are great dog people who have just decided, you know what? I'm not applying for any more breeds.
We've lost so many,
I mean, I talked to 3 judges in the last 2 weeks that have stopped and are sticking with what they have, which is still pretty good, but they should be judging the rest of those groups.
Yeah. I've had some. They've ended up just stewarding because they want to stay involved in dogs. They've gotten to the age where they still can't show them. Or they can't show them as well as it is. They steward. Well, I've had somewhere I've wanted to know the steward's opinion on my dog over the judge. It's in the middle of the ring. Right.
I don't know. Being fair to everyone is not fair to anyone.
No, the world is not fair. That's not how it works. It's not, I wanted to be a hockey player. Yeah. So does that mean Wayne Gretzky has to come down to my level so I can play hockey?
It's true.
It's true.
And quite frankly, the people who know, and they know who knows. Like I said, I'm not putting myself in any A-league or anything else.
No, we're just talking generally. It's not,
when you've been around all your life, 50, 60, 70 years, you can, and if you have an eye and if you've had an interest and if you've worked for great people, I mean, I was cheating. Working for the Forsythes was cheating. We had great dogs of every breed and they would know every bone and they would explain them to you. And you'd snuggle up next to somebody at ringside who knew and you'd learn from them just sitting there or on the table.
Let's look at Jane Forsythe. We all know how she is about, you know, she's not going to be frivolous when she's out. Do you think that she would have spent all this for 6 points?
No.
That means we have no Jane Forsythe.
She would have done it, but build the American Kennel Club. Yeah. Oh, I miss your mother. I miss you. But think about it. That's a great point, Will.
Yeah.
He's a great example. Jane's a great example. But I don't know. I don't know the answer, except some of these exception panels, regional exception panels. But it's just 1,000 points of light. And quite frankly, you can go to one seminar and take, in some breeds, you can get a 3 and a 2 and have a 5. Without knowing a damn thing about them. Yeah. Just went to one seminar that may or may not have been any good at all. And it happens to have a breed video that you can get 2 points for, a web
box checker. Yeah. I know it's frustrating. You think a lot along the lines, I hate saying it, but we're not all created equal in each one of our niches of life. It's not. No,
there's breeds that you and I could have no interest in ever even getting approved for, right? Breeds out of our realm, out of our area of interest. You and I could walk in those rings and find a good dog.
Yeah.
Might not be the definition of breed type in some people's minds, but we'd be better than, and this sounds like we're bragging, we're not. It's about 50, 60, 70 years of experience.
Yeah. And in most cases, I think we'd probably find the best dog. We just maybe couldn't tell you why.
I agree. I completely agree. And there's people who have all the points and gone through all the hoops and can afford the time and the spreadsheets and the letters. Oh, by the way, after I make the spreadsheet, then I've got to email or call all of these judges and ask their permission. Then, this is the funny part, I've got to do the same to the show chairman for each show. A, they're a little busy. And I can tell you that 90% of the time, 90%, when I call the show chair and say, I need your permission to observe or to apprentice in this ring on this day, they say, what the hell are you talking about? They have no idea. Nor should they. I mean, they've got plenty to do. I need their permission for what?
Exactly.
For what? But, you know, it's one of those things. So, You can get all the boxes ticked, have the judge's permission. And by the way, you have to have it before the day of the show. So if the show chairman's busy and doesn't get back to you, out of luck. Out of luck.
And they're gonna be busy. So
how many rules can you have?
It's
all right.
I'm not even there, and I'm getting frustrated listening to you.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that you can just go do the right thing. They know you. They know you know. You take all your tests, and you do provisionals, and then you can judge the whole group down here. And that's, fortunately, we're going to get a great judge because of your system.
Well, and even our system is flawed as well, because we all, and it doesn't matter where you sit in the world of dogs, you have to go right back to the bottom and start again. Yeah. And you're on the same level as Wayne Gretzky and me.
That's right. And we are pretty much the same people. We all know that. So yeah, it truly is frustrating. Like I said, I want to go through the hoops everybody else does. I'm not asking for any exceptions at all. I'm asking that the system be looked at and reviewed and say, I would love for, well, I don't know, whoever makes the rules should have to go through this. And I know they do. I think they do. But my goodness, you know, what a.
I think it and tells us that we're not going to get another Alvar Rosenberg until they're 120 years old.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. Multi-group judges are 70. If you don't start when you're 30, you're never going to make it to be an all-breed judge. That's not my goal, by the way. I never am a judge. But
you just think about all these great all-rounders that we hold high as youngsters. They wouldn't have existed. They just wouldn't have existed. Yeah, there's a, I don't know how true this story is, but this is what the, this is one of the things that we, up here in Canada, Mr. Bob Waters, who I think is one of our best judges ever, when he first applied to judge in Canada, it went across somebody else's desk and he was a Doberman breeder. So they gave him Dobermans and he was fine. He took it, you know, been showing them 40 years, but he took it. Well, then it went across somebody else's desk who knew who Bob Waters was, and they basically stamped all breed and sent it back to him.
Which, after Sporting and Hound, what group would you do next?
I'm thinking probably Terriers.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, for me as well. I mean, that's kind of our background.
Yeah.
Which would be the last group you would do?
Probably working dogs.
Probably working dogs, right? I would hire you to do the Rottweiler specialty tomorrow and you'd do great. But do you want, are you going to go through all that stuff? No.
Yeah.
You know, but you really, I mean, do you doubt that you could do boxers?
Oh God, no, I'd love this. And there's so many breeds that I was involved with that I just love, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Anyway.
And I like, we're talking about boxers. It's one of those breeds that I love watching certain judges judge those breeds because it's like watching a good lab judge. Like they sort through the type and they come up with, you know, things go through my head. Just like we were just talking about Jane Forsyth. Every time I watch a boxer, I always hear her voice in my head. There's no boxer built to run down and back.
It's true. By the way, this is a non sequitur. My neighbor's got a poodle that, was bred by one of your clients and she got it as a pet. The owner has had shoulder surgery. So I've been walking her for her. I've never seen a poodle come and go and go from the side, come and go.
That's like, as a Barbara Gallagher. I think that's the thing you told me.
Beautiful.
Yeah. She's bred some good dogs. I enjoyed showing for Barbara.
Man, she's so well made. Her tail set would probably in this world of poodles wouldn't be high enough for everybody. But man, and she's not big, but boy, I mean, four legs, they're out there, Will. You just got to pick through and find them. Anyway, again, I want to say, Will and I aren't asking for exceptions. We don't think we're any better than anybody else. We just want a system that, well, maybe we are, but we just want a system that's fair for everybody. I don't want to go through the groups, hoops. I'm going to go through them, every one of them. And I'm not going to try to cut corners or anything else. In fact, I'll go further than many, maybe. But I don't think everybody has to go through the same hoops.
Well, I always use hockey analogies. That's because that's the other world I think I know. And you look at someone like, I don't know if you guys will all know Mark Messier. Messier, he excelled in his sport. And when he retired and he wanted to get involved in an organization, they didn't drop him down to the mailbox. He wasn't down the mailroom.
Yeah.
He got a position right away because he proved himself.
Of course. I don't know. You go through these things. Here's another one on the apprentice thing. They may be judging them for 12 years, but you might know more than they do about that breed.
Oh, yeah.
But you've got to go in and go through the process to get your points. The idyllic version of this is you're only going to go apprentice under someone who's a real expert in the breed that you can learn something from. I will guarantee you that that is not the norm. You have to go apprentice under judges who you may know more than, just to get the points. What purpose is that serving? I don't know.
There is no business like show.
No business like. Anyway, pardon the rant. It's just that when you see the two of us here on our screens, you can see us, right? If you look in your radio dial, you'll see us on your iPhone. Fortunately, you can't see us, but you're looking at two guys who spent their life in the sport, and one has a different set of hoops than the other. And at the end of the day, I think we can both do a pretty decent job in a lot of breeds. Not all, but many. And that's just the way it is.
It's a waste of assets.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, enough of our rant there. I want to tell you a good thing.
Let's go back to Brenda, who watches hockey now.
She's going to now have to look up Mark Messier, though. You mentioned him. Anyway, it is the season. I want to say some positive stuff about entries. They, at Not At All shows, we still have our baby shows, but boy, some of the big shows are back. Louisville, almost 4,000 dogs. The Orlando shows before the AKC show, 4,000 dogs, almost 5,000. We're seeing Renaissance Center, a Renaissance cluster, Ved Foytix. Man, that giant entries and giant majors. So we're seeing it happen. Again, it's a small percentage of shows. And when you go there, even though there's 3,000 dogs, there's not going to be majors in every breed. Even though it only takes 4.4, you don't have to beat three, it's still not going to be available in many breeds. I can't believe the list of breeds that are low entries. Anyway, there was a wonderful little dog show in Maryland. The Maryland Kennel Club, where I was able to judge, fortunately, it was a great show. And then 2 weeks later, the Maryland Sporting Dog Association has their group show. And not only was it a big success with a giant entry, they did the coolest thing, young William. They had, it's a great, the fairgrounds works because there's cover and there's a field. It's not a fairgrounds in the middle of a city. It's a rural fairgrounds surrounded by beautiful land. And they had people come to do an instinct test for the sporting dogs. So they brought birds and they had people who know what they were doing. And you could leave the breed ring and go out in the field and test your dog on its first bird it's ever seen in its life, game bird or pigeon. That's so cool.
And of course,
the judges all would have gone out and watched that if they had the opportunity. They wouldn't. But it's so cool to watch. Brody did it with his pointer, and man, she just locked up and wanted a vibrate point. It was beautiful to watch her. And Akavi, obviously, there was plenty of others that did. There's also plenty who just looked and went, not for me. And that's fine too. But what a great thing to do is test for those skills. There's plenty of people there who didn't know they had this, went and paid their 15, 20 bucks, whatever it is, and got a chance to point a bird. And now might go, you know what? This is for me.
It's fun.
Yeah. You finish your dog when it's a year old or a year and a half. What are you going to do with it until it's ready to be special? This is what you can do with it. You don't have to be a big game hunter. You don't even have to be a hunter. You can just go out and run your dog on birds and go for your junior hunter. It's great for their brains. You know, if you've got a dog who's a little funny around certain situations, getting them to understand that they have this instinct switch changes their temperament. I mean, it can be a real game changer.
Oh, for sure. And it changes your perspective on your breed as well, too, right. I think.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And then after that, we have, I erroneously said that Tar Heel was last weekend or so. It's this weekend and or this week coming up. And who can't be thinking of Dennis McCoy?
Yeah.
But they've got great entries going on. York, Pennsylvania has pretty good entries going on, and that's not too far. There's a lot of good dog shows and good dog clubs coming up this spring. After the Tar Heel is Louisville. Almost 4,000 dogs. They will. Almost 4,000. Giant specialties. How about a Welsh Springer?
Didn't it used to be Louisville first and the Tar Heel? I think we used to always worry about people driving from Louisville to the Tar Heel.
Yeah, or was it the other way around? I don't remember. And then Florida.
Tar Heel was always one of my very favorites. I always loved it. It was just, I got to see all my friends and hang out there for a week with them. And, man.
At the risk of me sounding like the million-year-old man, there was a time, let's say my father told me about this.
Okay.
When those shows weren't at the fairgrounds, at the facility where they're held now, they were in tobacco sheds. I mean, basically, they were in just barns. And it was a different world. And you'd go down and you'd scatter around in these shows that were in barns.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like it was today. That's how long that show has been going on. And the great progress they've made under good leadership, including Dennis, over the last quarter century. It's just so much fun. I would go down because I could get my junior showmanship wins down there. You know, on a circuit, you only needed 5 to qualify for Westminster. I'm not even sure what it is now. But if you had a couple, you could get down there and grab 2. It was a big deal. And get back in time to qualify for the Garden. Speaking of junior showmanship.
Yes.
You see the post of Daryl Martin's?
Yes, I saw that. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. I wish they still did things like that.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Daryl posted a page from Popular Dogs magazine. And it used to be called something like Junior Ramblings or something.
Yeah.
And it was just little vignettes of junior showmanship people and what they were doing. And it is hysterical. Both Daryl.
What did they say about you, young Wayne?
Let's see if I can find it. It's probably dangerous to do, but I don't know how Daryl found this thing. I mean, where do you find a 1966 Popular Dogs and then go on to find the page that has that in it? You know, it was pretty cool. Let's see. It says Junior Cannons. That's what it's called, Junior Cannons. And it says, Junior News. Daryl Martin finished her Martin's Jolly Puff at Manawak with a 4-point major. She handled him for all his points. Wonderful news at Christmas. Henry Oringer from Brookline is recovered from a major spine surgery and has returned to the show ring with her Yorkies. Hetty, Oringer that is, Hetty worked with me at Forsyth's. yeah, that's so we go back that far. Wayne Cavanaugh of Red Bank, New Jersey, scored his 2nd Open Junior Showmanship first at Devon, Pennsylvania. He is quite the showman. Ever see his impersonations of prominent handlers and show business personalities?
Yes, I have.
And there's some other good ones, too. The funniest comment, of course, is Luke, our buddy Luke, who says, I love this. I can't wait to see Wayne's impersonations. And I say, Luke, be careful what you wish for. He says, I bet you can do a fabulous Will Alexander. And I say, I'm sorry, Luke, gods cannot be impersonated.
No. I didn't read that far. Did he respond to that?
The people that I used to impersonate are long dead. I don't know if I have any in my tank. There's a couple I could do. I can tell you there's a couple right now, youngsters. I don't think they'd appreciate it, but there are a few I could do.
I remember doing that as well. I remember being in Bobby Stebbins' setup. I'm just putting on a show for everybody. Here's so-and-so. Here's so-and-so. But I guess it's amazing how it is.
Your impersonation is great. I'll bet you really had it down.
Oh, it was just fun, you know. And we should put a show together, Wayne.
We should. Here's handlers that are long dead that you've never heard of. Watch while we impersonate them. It'll mean nothing to you, but we'll think it's fun. Anyway.
I used to try to impersonate Doug Belcher, but my eyes would dry because I wouldn't blink.
The stare. And then when he wins, it could be 3rd in the American bread class. Yes. And he goes flying over the room. Yes. Great fun to watch.
But, justification is mine.
Yes. Love you, Dougie, by the way. I haven't seen Dougie in a while.
I spoke to him the other day.
Is he doing good?
No, he's good. Yeah, he's good.
He's a good man. He's a good man. Anyway, so those three big things coming up right in a row. We had those Maryland shows, and then the Tar Heel, and then Louisville. So if you don't, if you can't get your dog show fixed this month, you'll never get it.
Well, and you're talking about numbers. It's great, you know, because those are all events now. They've become events with the numbers, and that's what we need. We need events. We can get through the small shows as long as we have events at some point.
Yeah.
Because we have them everywhere. Like I used to tell all my assistants that I'd take my dogs down to America and they'd be like, oh, wow, 3,000 dogs. I said, but then you look, you know, other times they have the 1,200 dog shows. So those are events and you need to, I like to visit them, but I always strive to excel at those ones. I don't know why. I always did, you know.
Well, we still have our 500 and 600 dog shows too. And that's more the norm, obviously. And speaking of that, and I don't want to get down this road again. You've all heard us beat this dead horse for too long. There are a bunch of articles in the Chronicle this week that were all about too many dog shows. Will, can you imagine that?
All right.
Other people are on board. It's not just us. I just want to mention, to keep the flame alive, too many damn dog shows, not enough breed entries. That's the point. There could be a million dog shows. That'd be fine. If you could get breed entries and they were all
dog shows.
But it doesn't work that way. Anyway, the other thing I want to talk about, there's another big dog show coming up, Will.
Huge dog show. It's happening right now. Today is Gun Dog Day.
Yes, it is.
At Crufts.
In the lovely, fair city of Birmingham, England.
Yes. Today is Thursday. Today's Thursday? Yes, today's Thursday. We record on Thursday. So today is Gun Dog Day.
Yeah. Oh, man, I miss it, Will. I miss it. By the way, the experience of doing that broadcast for all those years for the BBC, sitting with Frank Kane, Jessica Holm, Peter Purvis, you think I might have learned a little bit about dogs then? We had 400 breeds to memorize.
Right.
You know? All the FCI breeds, they were there too. And we would, you know, we did the announcing live. There were no notes. We just did them live. But we spent the whole week talking about dogs. And Frank Kane, who I can't wait to see judge the sporting group at the Garden this year, at the courts this year. He's such a great, passionate dog man. And if we had, of course, in the day, we'd have time to go do our scouting and do sidebars and some B-roll. And Wayne, there's a great giant schnauzer from Italy. And we'd fly through the show to go see it and sit and talk about it with experts from different countries. There's no points for that, Will. There's no damn points for that. But boy, I wouldn't trade.
There's no replacing that. So,
there is no replacing that. It's not on the CEU spreadsheet matrix. It's not. Have you ever watched Giant Schnauzer with Frank Kane and some breeders from Italy? No, that's not on. I can't find that on the CEU matrix.
We're beating the dead horse, but. Remember Fred Fraser, the great Fred Fraser? Yeah. I remember sitting with him and he told me, I wrote a huge article back when I was in my 30s about nothing beats experience. He used to pound that in my head. Mm-hmm. Nothing beats experience.
You know why musicians become good arena performers? Because they've played for three people in dive bars for 20 years before, you know, just picking along. Crufts is such an incredible event and it's a circus. That's not, it's definitely a circus. If you've never been, you're talking about over 20,000 dogs, not 2,000. I remember 25,000 when I was there. I don't know what it is that I haven't checked, but it's enormous. So you're sitting around, if you want to go see pointers, there's a pointer ring and the pointers are all benched next to the pointer ring. so spectators can see them. Breeders have to sit and talk together, and they're in there all day. And that's the pointer ring. There's two golden rings. And after there would be a judge for dogs, a judge for bitches, and then for best of breed, those two would have to decide which one of their winners was going to be best of breed. If they can't decide, if it's a tie and they won't agree, you bring in a referee. And by the way, Frank was often that referee. We'd be up in the broadcast booth getting ready, and all of a sudden Frank would, I got it, and he'd point to the best golden, run back in the booth. And the thing that I really enjoyed is learning about the breeds that we're now seeing coming in. I judged Fauve Basset's last weekend in the miscellaneous class, or F's, or whatever class it was, FSS. And I'd already seen hundreds of them. And that was a great thing about Crufts, is you'll see breeds you've never seen.
Yeah, that's a lovely breed too.
Yeah, I love them.
Our friend Gavin Robertson has one of those. I used to have one of those. And even the famous PBGB Gavin Robertson.
If Gavin gets into Fauves, there's going to be some great ones.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You just need those breeders.
We should plan that trip next year, Wayne. We should take the dog show drive and make it the dog show flight. Yeah. And yes. Go to Crufts next year. That's what we should.
And if you can always find someone who's been there, if you haven't been, and by the way, you fly to California for a week of shows. It's about the same, an hour or two more maybe of flying. Yes, it's a jet lag thing. You're going to pay probably the same to go to Crufts as you are to go to some, cluster somewhere far away from your home. It's so worth it because it's a so different experience. Showmanship and grooming means nothing, which I love. It's about finding breed type. You have breed judges in almost every breed. Where they can, not always, but typically, the breed clubs have to approve you to be a judge. There's another system. If you want to be a judge in England for pointers, the breed club's got to approve you. That's an interesting approach. But at the end of the day, you're going to see great dogs. And if you're into ShamWoo rags, shoes with dogs on them, I don't know, every earring, sculpture, piece of art, there's a store for it, a booth for it. And when I say booth, some of them are two stories tall, the tea room on top. So yes, you've never seen anything like it. It's five, but bring good shoes, young William.
I think we should plan that.
Yeah. Let's get a posse together and we'll go over. A lot of people went with it. A lot of Americans went this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of Canadians there right now. Gordon Haybert always puts together a package for everybody to go over there from here. And I know they're there now. I keep seeing pictures of them so on Facebook.
Cool.
They're at the flat coat ring right now, I think.
See a good flat coat with a good shape and a one-piece head.
But you're talking about the no grooming one. It was funny. Last night, Jill Taylor and I did a seminar for the judges group up here, and we were talking about grooming because the topic came up about grooming and over grooming and whatnot. And Jill made a great point. She said, it's icing on the cake. She said, if the cake is no good, it's just icing. But if it's a good cake, it's good icing.
Point. Very
That's
good
pretty
point.
Good, isn't it?
That's very good. Points for you, Jill. It's a great event. And if you haven't been, you really should. It'll give you a different perspective on dogs because you won't see all the showmanship and the flash and haircuts. You'll have to look for the dogs. I think it's just wonderful. And there's upsets and some of the judging could be, there's always complaints, but boy, you're going to see good dogs and you'll see breeds that look completely different in their homeland. And you can take that for what it's worth, but it's a good thing to put in your template arsenal.
Well, for sure. And dogs have come to the forefront because of that. Show like look at Scarf Mike, look at Mick the Kerry. After Crufts, I don't even know if he won or not, but everybody was talking about this Kerry Blue Terrier before he came to America.
And he won Crufts, Morris and Essex, and the Garden, right? Try that.
Yeah, Exactly. And I think Peter did that with his Lakeland dog. I know he won Crufts and Westminster.
Yeah, there wasn't Morris and Essex, I don't think.
Yeah.
That would be Stingray. Dare you have a Stingray or something? Yeah. Can't find my keys, Will. But
yeah, you can pull up a dog from 1968.
Not a problem. I can picture exactly what Peter was wearing that day too. Scary enough as that. But yeah, it's there's so much positivity to look up for and to look towards with the shows coming up. I just hope it keeps up.
Honestly, I feel it's on the upswing myself too. I do. That's even awesome. Up here.
Yeah. I think I was just thinking about this, so many people going to Crufts this year. I think it's because there was a couple of years with COVID that no one wanted to go. Yeah. Who wanted to get stuck in a foreign country? And now that things have lightened up a little bit, but boy, it's crowded over there. You shuffle, you don't walk. It is packed, packed.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Let's plan that. Let's plan the dog show drive in Birmingham.
I'm in. The buses are nonstop. There's big, beautiful buses that pull up to the NEC entrance all day, dropping off spectators. Thousands and thousands, tens of, maybe 100,000. I don't know.
That's amazing. That's
just really amazing. Just amazing. So, yeah, we got to do it. Hey, Cheryl and I rented a house in Georgia for the Pointer Specialty in April. That's a new thing. Get your VRBO on. Mm-hmm. And you can sit and relax for the week, not being in a hotel. You can make your own meals. I think a lot of people are doing it. Well, I know a lot of people are doing it because you put in the parameters of dogs allowed and it's a dog show weekend. They go rapidly.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sherry, Sherry Burr Smith from Foxtail Beagle, she does that all the time. Mm-hmm. We rent houses and much make more meals and
yeah,
hang out with the dogs at night.
Yeah. And you don't have to eat the junk on the road and wait in lines for restaurants and all that good stuff. Well, we talked again a week or two ago. We just touched on the safe sport thing, and mm-hmm. we had some stuff to talk about with that.
Well, I had a message from somebody, and she was more concerned about awareness than anything else. And it was awareness. She went on a different angle than most. It was awareness for parents that were sending their children off to dog shows with handlers and exhibitors and whatnot. And she wanted people to be aware. She thinks there should be some group where people are aware of what's happening with their children while at the shows, because they want them to go and they want them to succeed, but they also want them to stay safe. And it's all different. She's come up with a checklist for parents, and I'm gonna look more into it, and then I think we can talk about it again at some point. But I think that it's an awareness for parents is where the angle she's going off. And it's more about the time they're working. She was worried about her child working from 6 to midnight. And she mm-hmm. those type of things. And late nights in the airports and what she, and it's not even that she thinks it's wrong. She feels that the parents should be made aware of their child's itinerary while
where
on the road.
Yeah. Where are they? Didn't she have a point where her daughter was on a flight somewhere going to a show and she didn't know about it?
Yeah, she didn't even know her child was at an airport. She gets a call from the child.
Yeah, it's important to keep. And I know you want your kids to succeed and to learn all they can. Heavens, I worked, when I worked at Forsyth's, it was a long day and it was 6 days a week. You got Tuesdays. Right. And guess what you did on Tuesday? You drove to the airport to pick up dogs with Janie. It wasn't like, but I'll tell you the difference there. They took care of you.
And let's face it. There's so many more. I beat this too. There's so many more distractions now mm-hmm. than for a young person to be involved in the sport of dogs. That passion has to be right at the top of the list because there's so much more that they can get involved with. So the days of, like I remember working for Gary and all day long and not even getting paid. I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
No, you earned your stripes. You know, the first job I had getting paid by a handler, I was probably 14, was watering dogs at the garden for Bill Traynor.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Just going, see, I would have liked that.
I know. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I think he gave me $5 or something for a hot dog, but yeah, just X-ing dogs and making sure they had water, just watering and X-ing and watering it over and over. If you go right down the row, you start all over again, you know? But working for Forest Edge, you ate in the best restaurants. They made sure you had a safe place to live. They made sure that you were happy and healthy. They just had an interest. And why wouldn't you? But I do see, unfortunately, the occasional handler who just treats their kids like little slaves that and don't give them the respect and don't teach. They just, I think that's an essential element. You want handlers that are going to teach your kid, not just tell them to do stuff. And when you see the Eileen Hacketts of the world training and teaching all the time their assistants, and there's plenty of them, you know.
That makes it makes a huge
difference. Doug is a teacher. You know, Doug Belter, he teaches.
Oh, he's a fabulous teacher. Yeah. I myself learned, when I was younger, I learned from Doug just traveling with him. You know, it's because I'm a lot younger than Doug, so, and I could
way
have.
Younger. Well, anybody is. Methuselah is younger than Doug.
But it's true that I think the parents need to be aware. And that's what this message was about, was awareness for the parents. And that's not a lot to ask, I don't think. So it's not a lot to know their child's itinerary. Now, you know, when a child reaches a certain age, they're adults, but I still think they need the input. So
I was talking to Brody about this yesterday, and he asked me about registered handlers. And he said, is it safer to send your kids with a registered handler? Not safer, but more productive.
Right.
Because they may learn more about animal husbandry and health and first aid and just conditioning and care. I don't know the answer to that, but it's a good question.
Well, I think, aren't they all made to take the Safe Sport course now? I think they are.
I believe they. Well, I don't know if that's everybody or just the registered.
I think it's the registered handlers. I could be wrong. We should look into that, but I think they are made to take the Safe Sport course now before they can be registered.
You know, you may have a famous handler in your mind, and your kid's going to go work for them, and you may not know that they don't have any kind of facilities for your kid. Or a safe vehicle for your kid. You know, those are things to look into too.
Oh, I know. I remember hearing stories. A good friend of mine here, I won't go into names at all. He went down to work for someone very famous, and it was quite a distance he had to travel, and he got there and his room was a cot in the garage.
Wow. Yeah. Bob made sure, this is actually, a funny story, that he got, Bob had a house that was owned by a woman who was a little eccentric, and she lived on the property. So she lived in a little house, and there was a house, it was two stories, an old farmhouse. And he rented the bottom floor for me, and the top floor was two nurses. And my floor didn't have a bathroom. So I was 18, nervous, these two beautiful older nurses up there. I didn't go to the bathroom for years. And I also got almost arrested for breaking in, because I drove back up there. I came home for something and I went back up. I maybe just came home from a weekend and from shows. And I went back, I didn't have my key. So I had to climb in the window. And as I was climbing in the window in the middle of the day, he said, what are you doing here? I said, I work for Bob Forrest. Oh, don't worry about that. Bob's, you're fine. it was a beautiful apartment. You had a little kitchen and a nice bedroom and a nice area. So yeah, they took care of you. But you know, different world, different times. Just work for somebody. Just look into it, you know, make sure they're providing for them and getting them food.
And maybe ask for, I know it's hard because handlers are busy, but ask for some communication between the handler and the parent if the child is a younger child, you know?
Right. Texting, easy enough to do if you're too busy. And the other thing, you know, when we were apprenticing, well, we didn't have social media to distract us or to bully us or frame us or whatever else. You just went out there and did your job. So I made $75 a week and Every time Bob handed it to me, he said, you should be paying me for this education. It was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
He was correct. Yeah, fun times. Anyway, anything else?
No, I think it's time to get back to work and get ready for the weekend. I have a show this weekend in Lindsay, Ontario. It's the Scarborough Kennel Club. And like I told you, our average entries up here are around 500. Well, this weekend, Scarborough Kennel Club Saturday is 800.
Wow.
Which is a big number for this time of year in Canada, no question. So my hat's off to Scarborough Kennel Club for producing such a good show and to get the entries there. So, well, I'm looking forward to a good event.
That sounds wonderful. We won't have half of our shows won't be 800 here. And a good panel, good facility, a club that respects and takes care of their exhibitors. And there you have it, right?
That's right.
Good dates. So good on them. Thank you, Scarborough.
We can watch hockey Saturday night.
Yeah. Will it be, you know, even for everybody there, will it be fair?
The hockey game?
No, Scarborough.
Well, I guess it's fair.
I just wonder if you were going to Scarborough Fair.
See, if I had been a little bit older, I probably would have grabbed that.
Well played. Well played. All right. Well, enjoy the big shows coming up, everybody. And
yes.
Don't forget to make your plans for Orlando, I think.
Don't forget about the dog show drive in Birmingham next year.
the nickname, is there a nickname for a city? Is Brummy for Birmingham. Okay. So you just call it Brummy and you'll be just fine. And if and by the way, yeah, talking about hotel reservations, you better get on that.
We better get somebody on that then. And we'll get t-shirts made, get the whole thing. We're ready.
Yeah. We should have a dog show drive booth, a two-story booth. With an Irish pub upstairs, that would go over real big. Oh, by the way, we're too old to drink anymore, but there are bars around the rings at Crufts. So you can, 8 o'clock in the morning, you have yourself a beer watcher while you're watching your Beagles. It's a different world. And lots of candy wagons. They love sweets. So there's little sales wagons, you know, those little things, booths with tons of Cadbury candy available.
Oh, nice. All right. All right, Mr. Kavanaugh. We'll see you next week. And everybody else out there, stay safe.
Party on, Greg.
No way. Way.
Gotta be paying attention, Doc.
Thanks for the answer.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, man.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
I'm gonna rock.
Thanks, sir.
We didn't mention hockey either.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Put that in, Doc.
Yeah, let me see it in a blueprint. This is good. We're going to be here in a second, Wiener.